change. Just love you, baby. Before you sing it unto him now. Oh Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, he tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living with you, sanctuary, oh. Amen and amen. Just make me a sanctuary, Lord, for you. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Revelation 3. We'll read the 14th verse, and then we'll read Revelation 4, verse 9 through 11. Revelation 3, 14. Just remember, pray one for another. Remember, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday at 6 o'clock. So remember that. And also remember now we'll be having our Christmas time on, I believe it's December the 16th. And we'll be having our dinner together and our Christmas time together. And there will only be one service on that day. So just remember that and just pray. And we'll all fellowship together, have a good time in the afternoon just sitting around and everything and doing that. Also, now remember Tuesday, Peggy's got to go to have her other eye operated on. She's getting kind of worked out on one of them. She can see a way out there. And she hadn't told me how I look lately, so she must not be able to. It must look fuzzy because she's wanting the other one fixed where she can see up closer. So that's, you know, that may change if she says, well, uh-oh, I need to go back and have it reversed. You know, it might look different. But just remember Tuesday she'll be having her other eye operated on for the cataract surgery and all. And we appreciate the Lord for medical doctors, and we thank him for what he can do for us and help us and all, and we appreciate him. Amen. Any other announcements? I generally forget. Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we cherish your presence, because without you among us, it would not be any need of us gathering together. And I pray, Lord, that you tonight would just come on the scene and Lord, honor your word and just grant us understanding that we may walk in the light of your love. As we read your word, you come and speak to us, and you guide us through thy word to what to say to your people, the purchase of your blood. And guide each one now. You said, I sent my word and healed them and delivered from destruction, so we depend upon that. All these old colds and things that's among the people and all, Lord, we ask you to just take it away. And Father, you know our needs for rain and all. We've appreciate what we've received, but we pray that you would just send some more unto us and bathe the ground with your love in the latter rain, because we believe the latter rain's falling, and so then surely there'll be natural rain during the time of the latter rain. We love you and we thank you. Have your way now in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was thinking about that the other day, how that some people preach about, and I'm not throwing nothing, I'm just saying this is what I think, so you know, some people say we're in a drought because it's the end time. Well, amen, I believe that. And they say we're not getting any rain because it's the plagues falling. Well, I believe that, and that's fine. But then the other side says, well, we need to pray for rain because we need the rain during the time of the latter rain. Well, I agree with that. But why not put them all together? I mean, what's wrong with the fact that it can rain where the bride of Christ is at? And that she can call for rain any time, whether it be drought or whether it not be. So don't get it in your mind that you can't pray for rain because you've heard somebody say that we're in the time of tribulation, you know, that worketh patience. Not the great tribulation, but, you know, the wrath of God is being poured out. That's true. We believe that. But it don't have to be poured out on me and you. And it can rain right on your house and not on anybody else. It can rain right where you live and not on anybody else. So then there's nothing wrong with asking for rain, is there? You know. And I just thought of that because I know a lot of people preach it one way and others preach the other way. Well, why not put it all together and just believe and just keep right on going right down the line and believe in the word of the Lord. Okay, Revelation 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Amen. Now let's go over to Revelation 4. Now we haven't got this far, but we'll read these scriptures because I want to just take a thought tonight on something. Verse 9, 4th chapter. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, now who is this on the throne? Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Almighty God, one true and living God, right? Okay, now, notice what it says. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we're getting to the seventh church age, the last one in Laodicea. And I don't think I'll get down to the beginning of the creation of God tonight. So we'll just hold that and maybe start on it Sunday. But we're on the salutation or the greeting. You know, we've covered that for each church age. Each church age gets a greeting, which is the revelation of Jesus Christ. All right? And then each one gets an overcomer that can, you know, depend upon what they're doing. And each one, if we took them in the ages, the message to the age would be related then to the overcomer of that age. All right? But now we come down to the last church age. There's not another age past this one. This is the last age, and as we do, we know that it says that he's the beginning of the creation of God, and we'll get to that, the Lord willing, Sunday, but, you know, it's specifically to this age. Now, we'll read this in a minute, where the prophet said, this is the capstone revelation. Amen. All right? Now, what? The beginning of the creation of God. Right. The capstone revelation. All right? But what I want us to stay with there for a little bit is just the fact of taking the 2 points of the, you know, him saying that, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, because, you know, I want that on because of the tapes going out and things where people will follow the lineup, because most of everybody here tonight is pretty well familiar with all of the things that we've said on this subject before, but maybe it needs to be covered, you know, and especially for someone else to listen to, that they can, you know, follow the lineup. Because each age, as I said, gets a salutation, a greeting, a revelation. Now, that's a wonderful thing to think about, that God would reveal himself personally to each church age. And he would reveal himself to that age, and it would be a revelation related to the age that you're living in. It's a wonderful opportunity to comprehend that, you know, our thoughts about that God would speak to us personally in this age. Now, he didn't say to the first age that he was the beginning of the creation of God. He didn't say to the second age. He waited till the end time to say it, that he's the beginning of the creation of God. All right? See, because this is the age it can understand that. Not that Paul and them couldn't understand it, but it would be the point that you and I, now here's what I want you to see for tonight. Everybody says, oh, I understand the message. I've been in the message 30 years, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, the seals broke, the things. You know, I understand all about it. But see, this is the only age. This is the only age that gets the capstone revelation. Amen, right. So that's what we're going to cover, partial realization, the perfect things, when we get to it in a minute. All right? See, each age had a revelation of the deity of Jesus Christ, but this age gets a special revelation. Amen. Amen. And as we'll see Sunday, it comes right down to where we are, because each age makes manifest what their messenger brought. In the days of Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith. That's what they done. They made that manifest. That's what made them different. Not the ones that burnt down the churches and the things that went out protesting like that. No, that wasn't it. That was just the mixed multitude that followed along. But the real, true, genuine ones that really got the message of justification, that the just shall live by faith. See, they were the message of the hour. That was the revelation made manifest. Alright? So here we are in this end time, and it's going to be this age. There's never been an age to make it manifest like this age. There's never been a time that that God could reveal all of His glory. Because remember, each age inherits the one previous. So when it comes down to the end, we inherit the revelation of all the ages. We see all the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, and see, that's what I've kept dwelling on, because, you know, now, the Lord willing, I got it in this one, but I'll put it in again Sunday, on the fact that, see, we've lent so much on talking about the name of Jesus until you could say, well, they're just a bunch of onenesses. Well, we'll show by the Bible and the prophet's message Sunday that we're not oneness. We are true oneness. All right, and see, we're not Trinitarians, but yet the name of God is Jesus. Right. And see, then in that name, everybody wants to find a new name. Well, it's like I told you, I put it in there as much as I could over and over, that, you know, that to me now, this is the way I see it. As long as we're in the plan of redemption, body, spirit, and soul, you know, until the rapture, you know, maybe a little bit right prior to that, you know, but yet somewhere right about the time of the rapture, we might can see a lot of things, but yet it's not going to be something about redemption, because the plan of redemption is revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Jesus Redeemer. All right. So now, as long as we are in redemption, we will need the name of Jesus. All right. See, then even those that go to the white throne judgment to receive eternal life, they'll have to do that through the name of Jesus. All right. The fifth sealed Jew, all of those that get eternal life, they get it through the name of Jesus Christ. Because that's the only way to get eternal life. Amen. So now the message of cheer down through the endless ages the prophet spoke of after we're out of here would not be the revelation of redemption, you know, revealing the Redeemer. So sure then, he could have a new name. Sure, he could have an understanding of God can be brought unto us. Because I don't believe we're going to exhaust in this world the eternal God of revelation. Now, I just don't believe that. I believe we're just getting and I'll put it in here like this, I believe we're just getting a partial realization. I believe we're just getting a partial realization. But the partial realization we get is perfect. Because Luther received the message of the just shall live by faith. That was partial realization. But for his time, it was perfect. Put him in the body. Alright? But see, now compare the justification thoughts die with the justification now. You can see it's come from partial to perfect. See? Alright? And see, and in that then, we get the revelation of all things. And we'll have the complete revelation of the plan of redemption while we're here in the world. See? Alright? Now, then why would you want to talk about a new name? See? Until the name of Jesus is completed as the plan of redemption. Then when all is made new, I believe that there'll be a new name. But remember, it'll be the same name. You'll have the same name at that time that he has. Just because, see, just like now, we've got the name of Jesus. We're Christians, all right? See, at that time, it'll be a revelation personally to you. But now I told you what I believe. I don't believe the fifth seal Jew. I'm just putting those points. The Jews and the things that didn't come under salvation through the Gentile dispensation. The foolish virgins and things, They will never understand the new name. I don't believe that. Because it's a new revelation. That was what I've tried my best to drive into you. It's not J-E-S-U-S. It's a revelation of who it is that that name pertains to. See, when I say Jesus, I'm not talking about 2,000 years ago. When I say Jesus, I'm talking about His name. Now, if I want to say Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, I've got the ability to do that. All right. So then I'll tell you what I'm talking about. But until that, you just keep it in mind. I'm talking about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is all it is Almighty God made manifest among us. And His name is Jesus. And there's no other name given under heaven whereby you can be saved except through the name of Jesus. Right. See, then in that, no one will know anything about the new name other than the bride. Because listen, come on now. Only the bride now understands the name of Jesus. Well, everybody's preaching Jesus' name. They've been preaching Jesus' name 2,000 years. Now, Brother Brown said, you call Him a Trinity. Then where are you at? When you refer to Him as the second person or third person or any person of the Trinity, like that, then your mind is locked on the same Trinitarian doctrine as the Catholic Church has got. I don't care if you call Him Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You say, but I don't understand how come people can get what gifts and callings are without repentance. And the end time is to be poured out to try you. It's poured out now to try you. If you get confused about what they can do, I'm meaning over there now, I'm talking about, you get confused about the fact of, that people can actually walk in, out in mid-air, they can see the dead raised, the sick healed, and all kind of things today. If you're confused about that, then you don't have the revelation that the prophet brought unto us about the one true and living God. And you don't have the revelation that in the end time, God said, I'll send that among you. I'll allow that thing to come among you to try you. To see whether or not you'll stay with the Word. Yeah, but they've got more signs than we have, Brother Dale. We're going with them. No argument with you. Going with them. Because if that's your, appetite, you know, then that's what you want to eat. And I'm not going to argue with no one about anything like that. I'm just going to preach on. I was praying about something there last night, and I said, God, I'm sorry. I'm just like I am. I said, I'm sorry, Lord. I really am. I'm sorry that I'm the way that I am. And I don't mean in a sinful state. I just mean in a human state that what I see, I just keep pounding away. And I'm just not made like all these other preachers. I just keep pounding away at that one thing until I begin to see it made manifest, and when I do, I'll move on. And that's just the way I am, and I'm sorry, you know, for being that way. But that's my nature. If I tried to do anything else, I wouldn't be me. And I even apologize to the Lord about it. Because you know. I asked Him, so, well, change me, Lord. You know, make me to be different then if I'm not right. And it just keeps coming back, so I just keep on going. Now, when He tells me that it's wrong, I'll change. But now we're listen. See, the name of Jesus is the name of God. All right, now. That's the one I'm talking about. See? And calling His name, brings Him on the scene. Just like you, if you was in another room and I'd say, Brother Gary Atkins. Brother Gary, come in. You know, yeah, Brother Dale, what's up? See, I've contacted Him about His name. And that's what will bring God on the scene, is that name. All right? See, then we stay with that until we come to the position to where we could accept another name or something. I've never said there wasn't a new name. I've always just asked the question, could it be that the new name would still be, the name would still be Jesus, but it would be a new revelation about the Lord Jesus and who He is. You know, I don't know. That's nothing to me. I'm not worried about it. It'll be made known when we need it. We sure need it now. No, what we need now is to believe what Jesus has already done. We don't need to believe what He's going to do. You don't worry about what He's going to do. It's what He's already done. See? It's already finished. Now, when He overcame, He received a new name. Amen. But yet when He come back, who was He? Now, come on. Are you listening? Now, you want to stay in the Bible with it? Just what I said. I can stay on this from now on the name of Jesus. But see, when He overcome, the prophet said He received a new name. Right? All right? But when He appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, what did He say? Come on, what did He say? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Well, Paul and them didn't have any trouble using the name of Jesus. The disciples, the book of Acts, after the Holy Ghost came, didn't have any trouble saying that the name and faith in the name, or the revelation of the name, has made this person whole. They didn't have any trouble with it. Well, right, when all is made new, then we can think about something being new. And like I said, it could be revealed to us right about the time of the change. That's fine. But it's just like I proved to you by the prophet. You get a name change. But you can't tell me what that is. See, that's where the trouble is. I gave you two or three quotes where the prophet said these people bragging. He said they don't have nothing. Bragging about what they've got, they don't have nothing. All I've got is what He give me. All I've got tonight is what God give me. I don't have anything else. I don't want anything else except what He give me. That way then I can relax in Him and let Him just take care of everything. Right. But see, in the plan of redemption now, we know that when He come back to John on Patmos, and this was AD 95-96. This is after His resurrection. This was after the receiving, as we'd say, that He received a new name. He didn't put it in the book of Revelation. You know, you say, well, maybe it's in... Well, I don't know. Maybe you can read it upside down or sideways, and I'm not making fun of you. Because they do that all the time. See, they claim that there's words slanted, there's things done, and you can sing this, and you can do that, and with the Bible. But see, when He come to John on Patmos, He come to reveal Himself. The prophet said the only book in the Bible, page 13, church age book, whereby Jesus personally appearing to a scribe to write. Right. See, then in doing that, you remember what we brought out on the age, because each age it says, unto the angel at Ephesus, write. Unto the angel of, Laodicea, write. In other words, write it down, record it. Record this for them, but when it comes to you and I, it is not to be recorded. Now, listen to what I'm saying about it. It's to be lived. See? Well, it's not to write it down, J-E-S-U-S, or anything else. It's to be lived. See? It's not to just be wrote. It says, write unto the angel of the church. All right. See, then the angel of the church gets the message, brings it to the church. The church becomes what? Is written to that age. What is made manifest to that age? All right. Now, bringing a revelation to each age, the messenger speaks in the place of God, not instead of God, no, that's Catholic, but in God's stead, He speaks to the church what is brought to Him by revelation. Right? So now, Brother Branham got the revelation, He speaks to us, then we must become that revelation. All right? We must make alive that which He brings unto us. Then, it's not Jesus appearing as an angel to each church age. It's Jesus appearing by the new birth through an angel to the church age. Now, you understand what I'm trying to get to? Because that messenger of each age speaks from his own revelation. All right? So then he gets the message. It's revealed to him. Then he speaks it back to you and I. Because it's what's written in his own life. All right? See, because he himself catches the word. Nobody caught the revelation this end time except Brother Branham. It's got to come to him first. I don't care how much it was. I heard of the church ages before I ever heard of Brother Branham, but they didn't have the messengers in the right order. Now, they had Paul, and they had Luther and Wesley, but they didn't have the rest of them in order and things, you know, because the man didn't know. But, you know, Brother David, he'd heard of it too, I believe, years ago. Because a lot of people try to teach the church ages and talk about how that it would mean the time that we're in. But they didn't have the revelation. What if you had all six of them lined up, but didn't know the seventh one? See, then you wouldn't be the angel of the seventh one. Right? Because each one of them coming down had the revelation for that age, and that was a set of stair steps coming up, and how could Brother Branham come up here and deny Luther and Wesley? These people say, oh, Luther and them was false, West of them, and Pentecost, that's false. Well, you're standing out in mid-air then, because you have no connection back to the foundation of the apostles and prophets. But no, I believe we're standing on the real thing. But now listen, let me get off of this point. See, the one speaking to John says, right, John. But that was the Lord Jesus Christ personally appearing to John to write. All right. Now, I'll get back on this when we get on over a little further, but make here it Sunday. I may just pick it up because I want to get into that, the word that they fall down. He falls down to worship the one, and the angel says, don't worship me. I want to just put that out and just get it and lay it out and just let it go, and just anybody do what they want to with it. Because most everybody in the message thinks that was Brother Branham. And it sounds close. But I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ in a prophetic ministry. Now that's what I believe. That's just the way I tell it. But, you know, I tell you what I believe. I don't play around. Well, that might have been, and I don't know that could have been. What's your opinion, Brother? No, I don't have no opinions. I just tell you. Right or wrong, I tell you what I think. That way I can be helped. All right. But now listen. It's not to just repeat a name, but it's to have the name revealed to you of the person that's talking to you. See, that's why that we wouldn't have any use. A man sat on my porch years ago and told me Brother Branham was Malachi 3. So I knew what he's getting at, so I let him run a little while, and Brother Moat was sitting there dying laughing because he knew me pretty well. And I just let the man go on and talking, and you know. I said, well then you think Brother Branham wasn't Malachi 4? No, he's Malachi 3. I said, well, at least you're praising him for making him 3 anyway. Most everybody don't make him nothing, you know. Because that's what a lot of people, if you ever notice anybody saw, oh, y'all follow that false prophet. Thank you. At least you said he was a prophet. Between him and God to realize who's where his faults or not. But thank you. Thank you for praising him. Because at least you made him a prophet when other people won't do it. But the man, he kept saying, oh no, Brother Branham. I said, well, you think there's another one to come? Oh yeah. I said, well now the Lord Jesus Christ is to come back up the prophet. I believe that. Be glad to show it to you in the message, you know. But let me just tell you like it is, brother. If you think you are Malachi 4 or the one to come, I won't tell you to your face. You're not him. Because you're not the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're not him. That further weighed about 475 pounds. You know. But, I mean, that didn't bother me how big he was. It was just what I was trying to get him to see was the message of the truth. You know. But listen. See, the Lord Jesus Christ sprang into message to John. Each church age, as I tell you, is in red letter edition if you got a red letter Bible, showing you that this is Jesus speaking to the church through the messenger. And John writes that down. And each age had a message written to that age of the revelation that would be in that age. All right. Now, it would deal within, like Wade did when he was covering it. And hey, I just about got caught up on my listening since I went to Brazil. I was so far behind, man. Me and Peggy, we've been listening to a lot of tapes. I got caught back up. I'm caught up just in, I thought, man, I'm doing good. I like about 3 messages of Brother Richards, and I was going to bring them to run them off today, and I got another package today because I didn't get them to us first week. I said, well, yep, here I am, 7 tapes behind. But I'll get caught up. But I'm caught up with the rest of them. I've listened to Wade's and Brother Aaron's and Brother Harris's and all while I was gone. And, you know, because I like to listen to hear, because I believe faith comes by hearing. All right? See, I need all the help I can get. You may not need no help, but I do. I need all I can get. I need to listen to everybody I can get a hold of that tells the truth. Now, I don't care about all this other stuff. You know, but now just listen. So each church age now, he speaks personally to John, but he says, write it. Because John wasn't going to be the messenger to every church age. Right? He wasn't a messenger to any of the church ages. He was the scribe to write down what was given him to say to the age, but it was a message. Now here's what I want you to see. Yeah, I was thinking on this today. I want you to see this point. When you read that to the seventh church age message, that salutation, that's talking to you. Now, the others are speaking to us, and that's fine because we believe it, because we inherit it. But yet, this is the letter to you and I. This is the letter Sister Gail given straight to you. Now, you remember how I was bringing it out Sunday on the only begotten. Well, see, everybody in here tonight's got to say, I am the only begotten. Because you're the only one that knows you're born again. Right. Well, Brother Dale, I believe you're begotten. No, that won't help you a bit. Right. Amen. It won't help you a bit to believe that. What'll help you is when you realize you're the only begotten of the Father. Because this is an individual affair, not a group. I know he was the only begotten. I know what it's talking about there, but you're begotten too. The Bible says you're begotten through Jesus Christ. Paul said, I begot you through the gospel. Right? So then we're the only begotten. You remember how I was bringing it out of Abraham? See, Abram begot Ishmael. Abraham, we talk about, begot Isaac. But Paul said in Hebrews 11 that Isaac was the only begotten of Abraham. I think it's 11:17, wasn't it? The only begotten of Abraham. He had about 7 or 8 kids after then. And had one before. But this one was begotten by a law of faith. A promise. Whereas the others come as natural children. But see, that way you and I are begotten of the Father. He's my Father. That's what thrills me to read there, you know, when he's told, Mary said, don't touch me because I've not yet ascended. He said, I go to my God and your God. I go to my Father and your Father. Ever whose God he is, it's my God also. And see, that way then it's not Trinitarianism. We'll get to that Sunday. that Jesus could stand on earth and say, I and my Father are one. And not be as the one that says, oh, he's just throwing it off there. Because he should have said, I am my Father. Now, Jesus didn't say, I am my Father. He said, I and my Father are one. Now, if we don't approach it that way, you are going to go into the oneness with the wrong idea. All right, but now let's get down to something. But let's cover these couple of things before we do, because here's my point for tonight. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Now I want you to think with me, because I don't have enough time to cover it. I'll get to it Sunday now. So what I want you to think with me is, see, these things saith the Amen, who's it talking now? Saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness. Now, there's the message to the age. I'm letting you think now. I want you to think about that. Now, you're going to say, no, it's the beginning of the creation of God. Now, hold on a minute. In description of himself is what he gives to each church age, right? Now, is that right? Each church age, I've proved it over and over, each church age, they got a description of Jesus Christ through that age. So to this age, he's what? He's the Amen, the finality. Nothing else can be added to. Nothing else can be taken away. And he's the true witness. All right, now. The beginning of the creation of God. Pray God give me a word to say. The beginning of the creation of God, sure, is a description of who he is, but it finalizes in who you are. But the Amen, come on, go back with me. Go back and read your church ages and get your salutation. The salutation to that age, or greeting to that age, was a revelation of Jesus Christ. The overcomer brought the revelation down into manifestation, right? Now listen. The overcomer makes manifest the revelation of each church age now. Now listen with me, because there's something I'm trying to get to you, because it's very valuable to me where it is to you or not. Anyway. But you see, this is the only age that the salutation brings the revelation of you into being in the salutation. The other is eyes like flame of fire, feet like brass. Description, sure, that's fine. But this age tells you he's the Amen, the so be it. Amen. He's the faithful and true witness. Now he brings Jesus Christ and you and I right into the next statement, the beginning of the creation of God. Because the prophet said we're the rest of that creation. We'll get to it Sunday. But the other ages didn't bring the overcomer up into the salutation. Sure, they made manifest those things for their age they were living. But now you get, as we'll get to it in a minute, the prophet said the capstone revelation. Now if it's a capstone revelation, then the capstone without somebody to put it on is no good. See, we know the message. But I don't want to get into it tonight. We know that when at the beginning of the creation of God, Brother Brown said this is a special designation of himself, church age book. He said this has to do with the bride. But that's what I want you to see. See, now instead of having to wait for the overcomer Instead of having to go to 21, 22, 23, the overcomer of the seventh age, in the very salutation itself, the very greetings, he brings you into being. Oh, I want to get on to that, and I got to slow it back down now, because, see, that's, I want to run on Sunday's message, so forgive me now, I got to drop back. But that lets you know where I'm going. This age, I'll state it one more time, is the only age that gets the salutation that's speaking personally about you. That brings you right into being there in the salutation. Well, check it out on the rest of them and see. But now watch what he says. Let's get these because we want to make sure that we get the right understanding. Who is he? Look at number one on your notes, which is 331 Church Age Book, and it'll go into 332. He reads Revelation 3:14, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. My, isn't that the most wonderful description of the attributes of our lovely Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? These words just make me want to shout. They bring such a spirit of reality into my heart. Just reading them without even waiting for a thorough revelation of the Spirit upon them thrills me. Jesus is given us this description of himself in relation to the last age. The days of grace are winding up. He has looked from the first century right through to the 20th and told us all things concerning these ages. Before he reveals the characteristics of the last age to us, he gives us one final look at his own gracious supreme deity. This is the capstone revelation of himself. All right, now keep on reading. Thus saith the Amen. Jesus is the Amen of God. Jesus is the so let it be of God. Amen stands for finality. It stands for approval. It stands for prevailing promise. It stands for unchanging promise. It stands for the seal of God. Amen. See, when you say it, it's in the Psalms, you know, you'll be reading, it'll say Amen. All right. What does that mean? I put my stamp of approval upon this statement. See, have you ever been amening somebody and they was going real good and about that time they go off into left field and you holler Amen before you realize you just amened the wrong thing? And you want to erase it and say, oh me. Because that part ain't right. Amen means I agree with it. Maybe that's why y'all don't amen a lot. I just thought of that. That's, maybe you don't agree. It's all right. At least there's one thing about it. You know what I believe. But listen. Amen. Jesus is the Amen of God, he said. There is no more. There's nothing before, there's nothing after. It's all in him. He wasn't a Trinity back here and become a oneness over here. He always was that true one, true and living God. But yet down through time, they made him a Trinity and things like that. But now in the last age, he's given us this last look at himself. And he says, I'm the Amen. There's not a God before me. There's not a God after me. I am that God. I'm the so be it. Huh? Huh? Now watch what he says. This is page 292 of the Church Age Book, number 2 on your notes. These things saith he that is true. Now this word true is a wonderful word. It does not mean true in just the sense that it is opposite to false. See, it doesn't mean that now in this situation. It expresses the perfect realization of an idea as contrasted with its partial realization. For example, we recall that Jesus said in John 6:32, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. John 15:1, I am the vine, Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself to appear in the presence of God for us, 1 John 2:8, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. Not true and false, but partial realization and perfect realization. See, the bread, the manna in the wilderness was great for the time. It was perfect for the time. But yet as time progressed, the manna actually ceased when they went into the promised land, into the land of Canaan, and when they ate the old corn, which is a stronger revelation of the Word of God. See? The manna ceased. All right? But now, what I like to show you that it's not true compared with false is because when they went into the promised land, before the manna ceased, they took some of it and put it in the pot to keep it for all the following priests, you know, high priests, to be able to go in and partake of the original manna. We know that it goes on into a deeper understanding. What? Partial realization, the bread in the wilderness. Perfect realization, the old corn of the land. You see, there was a day when the old corn of the land became stagnant because of what they'd done with it. But now remember, the manna pot. I believe if you could find that pot today, you could still find the manna in there. But only the high priest is going to get it, so don't worry about trying to find it. But now listen. Partial realization compared to perfect realization. You remember when you first heard of the message or heard of one God or whatever, you know. But yet think about that and compare it today. Of what you see. And you'll see that what you've been doing is coming from partial realization to perfect realization. You say, well, we know that. I know it, but maybe some out there don't know it, so we'll just cover this. But you listen because it might be important to you too. Now, he goes on down to say, since the word indeed expresses perfect realization as against the idea of partial realization as illustrated in these verses, we can now understand as never before antitype contrasted with type, and substance with shadow. Take the example now of manna from heaven. God sent down angel bread from heaven for Israel, but that bread did not satisfy. It was only good for a day. Those who ate it were hungry again the next day. If it was left around, it became contaminated. But Jesus is the true bread from heaven, whereof manna was just a type. And if any man eats of that bread that came from heaven, he will never hunger again. Right. Why? Because that's eating of Jesus Christ, right? He does not need to come back and eat again. The moment he partook, he had eternal life. Here indeed was reality. No need any longer for a shadow. No need for a partial salvation. Here is the whole of it. Just like Jesus isn't a part of God, he is God. But when you first start, you see partial realization. And as your revelation progresses, see, you see perfect realization. Take the church ages. Read the salutation to each church age. And you'll see that it was perfect for that age. But then as it moves on, see, to this age, we come to the perfect revelation, our true revelation. To the true witness. The witness has got to be somebody that's got something. You can't witness a wreck if you've not seen it. They won't take that in a court of law. You've got to be a personal witness to see it. So then perfect realization, think about your revelation. Think about where you've come from in the years you've been in the message and how much you understand of the Bible. I was thinking the other day about it. Even our children would confound theologians to talk about the real understanding of the Bible. Just a little bitty kids. The understanding we have, it's come from partial realization to perfect realization. All right, now the faithful and true witness. Now listen. See, then what you have today is a true witness. Now listen, are you listening? You have a true witness within your own experience because it has constantly grown until you're seeing the person. Now come on, you understand what I'm saying? You're seeing the one true and living God. Compared to when you first started and you was wondering what this meant and what that meant and what this was and what that was and the thing. And why it said this and why it said that. See, no longer is that true. Now you are a true witness. Why? Because he was a true witness. He said, I and my Father are one. All right, I thought we were supposed to be able to say that. I thought by the new birth, we were supposed to be able to say, I and my Father are one. I'm not telling you something. I don't come to church to preach, to try to make a living or anything out of it. I come to try to tell you what I personally witnessed within my own self. You say, yeah, but you didn't see Jesus. No, but I've seen him greater because my Bible says, blessed are they that believe that have not seen. But see, I see him through the opening of the Word. When we get there, we'll find out the witness we have within ourselves is greater than all that was down below us. We've come to perfect realization. Here I am right back again fixing to hit that, but I can't help it. But see, the reason I know that we're at perfect realization is because the next statement says he's the beginning of the creation of God. And if he's the beginning of it, that means there's got to be a creation. Because he said he's the beginning. It didn't say, I am the creation. He said, I'm the beginning of the creation. That means there's got to be more to it. See, the revelation compares out. Well, what would do if you come in and just reject all the others and just jump up and say, oh, the beginning of creation of God. I know where the prophet said, we're the rest of that creation. Amen. We're that creation. Oh, glory, glory. No. You're not a true witness. You get it? You're not a true witness. You're a witness. But you're only saying what somebody else is saying. You're not a true witness, something personal within yourself. Like Brother Woodby told Brother Dick one time, said, put it in your own words. You don't have to quote the prophet to me, put it in your own words. Tell me what's in your heart, Brother Gary. You don't have to read me all of the quotes to prove it. He didn't call from Alabama one day and I-20 on the rest area and say, Brother Dale, I just read it. I got the Holy Ghost. I just read where the prophet said I got it. That still didn't give it to you. It's when you got a personal experience of your own. See, this age, we got to be a true witness. A true witness to something. And it proves out to be a true witness in what we're doing, see? You know, get what the prophet's saying. Partial realization. Look at number 3. 334, Church Age Book. He is the true witness. Now, this word true is the same word we saw back there in Revelation 3:7. You recall it does not mean true as in contrast with false. It has a richer, deeper meaning by far. It expresses perfect realization in contrast to partial realization. Now back in the Philadelphian age, the coming of the Lord was drawing nigh. What great love that age manifested for him. It reminds me of those beautiful words of 1 Peter 1 and 8. Whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet you believe him, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. With them we rejoice also. We haven't seen him, but we have felt him. Now, do you say, you can't be unless you see. Well, what if you're blind? You got another sense that you can use, a feeling. And watch what he said now. But we have felt him. We know him now as much as our limiting senses can let us. But one day it will be face to face. That is for this age. Now, listen. That is for this age. What? To come one day that it'll be face to face. And listen to him. That is for this age. He is coming at the end of this age. Partial realization will be made perfect realization. Right. Completed realization. Hallelujah. We have been looking through a glass darkly, but soon it will be face to face. We have been going from glory to glory, but soon it will be right in the glory. And in his glory we'll shine. We shall be like him, wondrously like him, Jesus our Savior divine. Isn't that wonderful? We are complete in him. That is true. He would not lie to us about it, but one day we will be changed into atoms. We will put on immortality. We will be swallowed up in life. Then we will realize realization. That's for this age. For this age, for us to realize realization. For us to come, as we were reading now a while ago, to the age where it's the capstone revelation. The perfect realization. Because that's who he is. And see, your revelation, you have been going from glory to glory, looking through a glass darkly, but once that's removed, what do you see? Face to face. But Brother Dale, I've never seen Jesus face to face. Have you ever seen the Word? Has the Word ever been revealed to you? Well, that was him. Moses had seen him face to face. Come on, he'd seen him face to face. God spoke to him. But yet he wanted to see him. Because evidently what he was seeing was not a physical, corporal point of contact, but he was speaking lip to ear, face to face. But he said, Lord, I'd like to see you. He put him in the cleft of the rock and he saw the back part of a man, right? So he gave him a more perfect realization. See, church, the more we follow the Word, walk in the light as he is in the light. The prophet said, watch them tapes and things unfold. Watch the message unfold if you just keep walking in. To realize who he is and what he's doing. Listen. Now, what I want you to see for just a minute, and then it'll help us to be able to cover Sunday. If we talk about partial realization and perfect realization, then we want to see one thing for sure. So let's just read it here on page 336 of the Church Age Book. Watch how it ties together, and then you'll see why I keep hammering so hard on it about Peter. And who do man say, I the Son of Man am? Is it thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Thou art the Creator God. See? And Jesus, what did he say? My own life didn't reveal that unto thee, Peter. But my Father revealed that unto thee. And upon that rock that you were talking about, the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, then I'll build my church. All right? Now, he was recognizing him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. So now Sunday, we'll take off on the Son of God being the in the beginning. But I want to cover the Bible, see, and just get what he's saying here about this, 336 Church Age Book, because it's tied to what we're talking about. And it can't be tied any other way. Now, watch. The beginning of the creation of God. That is who the Lord Jesus says he is. But those words don't mean exactly as they sound to us. Just taking them the way they sound has made some people, in fact, multitudes of people, get the idea that Jesus was the first creation of God, making him lower than Godhead. Then this first creation created all the rest of the universe and whatever it contains. That's not right. You know that doesn't line up with the rest of the Bible. The words are, he is the beginner or author of the creation of God. Now we know for a surety that Jesus is God, very God. He is the creator. John 1:3, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He is the one of whom it is said, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Also it says in Exodus 20:11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. See, there is no doubt that he is the creator. He was the creator of a finished physical creation. Surely we can see what these words mean now. To have any other interpretation would mean that God created God. How could God be created when he himself is the creator? All right. Now, let's see if you are a true witness. What do you think about it? Let's illustrate it by the perfect, partial, perfect realization. Now, how many of you would admit, don't ask for a raise of hands because it makes a lot of people lie. How many of you would admit that you used to think that Jesus created all things because you could read the Bible? Maybe some of you never read it enough to understand. But the Bible didn't change. The Bible's always told you who created all things. But how many of you would admit that you used to think that God created Jesus and Jesus created everything else? How many of you still think that? Now what I'm trying to do is prove the partial to perfect realization. The title of the message is Created All Things. Because that's what we read there in Revelations 4:9-11. That this one was worthy, and that he created all things. Now, like I said, maybe you didn't read, maybe you didn't study, but before I come in this message, I knew what the Bible said. That's why I believed in God in three persons, blessed Trinity, but I didn't have nobody to explain it to me. But I knew that the Bible told me that Jesus Christ created all things. I just didn't start reading them scriptures when I come in the message. I read them. It's like I told you, I read the Bible. And I told my wife one day, I said, there'll be two prophets come before the end of the world. Well, I could see Malachi 3 and Malachi 4. And I just read the letter and I looked at it. I was in the Baptist then. I mean, right after I become just a young Christian. But I couldn't explain it. I didn't understand. I just took what the letter said. Now, a lot of people knows what the letter said. Now, do you understand why the prophet was saying what he did? Let's just reread that again now where you get it. I'm not just trying to deal with this part here. I'm trying to get you to see something to see if your witness is correct. The beginning of the creation of God, that is who the Lord Jesus says he is. But those words don't mean exactly as they sound to us. Just taking them the way they sound has made some people, in fact, multitudes of people, get the idea that Jesus was the first creation of God, making him lower than Godhead. Then this first creation created all the rest of the universe and whatsoever it contains. So that's what we believed before the prophet come to give us the correct understanding. We was in that group. Well, I wasn't in it because I didn't know. Well, then you wouldn't even know we're in the... Sorry. I shouldn't be that blunt. But why not? You wouldn't even in the category of even reading the Word of God. What's the matter with you? And the prophet started telling the things in the Bible. I knew what the Bible said. Because that's what I'd done. I read it. I studied it. When he started talking, I didn't have to go get the Bible and pick it up to see whether he's right or not. I couldn't. I don't have the memory. People accuse me of having a great memory. I don't. But I got one thing. If I keep reading something so long, and then if you read it different, I'll know. And when Brother Branham started talking, I didn't have to get the Bible to check it out and see whether he's right or not. I knew he was right. Because I had read it over and over and over. And I knew now, the Bible says Jesus is the Creator. But now we know that it wasn't, because back then I was confused about Jesus being the Creator, or the Christ being the Creator, or the Word being the Creator, or the Son being the Creator. Or, wouldn't you? I might have been seeing something, but I was still looking through a glass darkly. I might have had a partial realization. But when this prophet started talking about the God of the Bible, I had no problems relating to that. Because that was the one I saw in that church when I was 11 years old. So I didn't have no trouble relating to what he was saying. Because I always wanted to find somebody that would talk to me about a God that was alive. Because I believed he was alive. Sure, I'm just as confused as anybody else on the doctrine. I'm telling you that. But listen. When we say Jesus created all things, now, the flesh man never created anything. Took bread and blessed it. Break it. Yeah. So it's not talking about the flesh. Right. But he's talking about the Creator. And that's what was revealed to Peter. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, I'll build my church on that. The revelation of who he is. So now watch now. Let's read the Bible about it. Let's establish it. We've been through these over and over, but like I say, it's good to go back through them, and not only good to go back through them, somebody else may hadn't heard it. All right, go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So now who's the Creator? God. That's what it says. That word God there is translated from the word Elohim, which means self-existing. Right. One we just read there where Brother Branham was quoting it, Genesis 20, verse 11. Exodus. I better get the right book. I was doing that the other day, and I kept studying on something. It kept coming back to me. The scripture kept coming back to me. I said, Lord, that's not the scripture. I mean, I really got confused. That's not the scripture. And I'd think a little bit, and I'd think, and I'd write down some notes, and write. And I wrote it down two or three times. I'm going to look see what that scripture says. Well, it was very good when I got there. But he wanted me to read that scripture. And it was when we get over to Ephesians 3, and I kept writing down James. I'd write James 3, 3 and 9. I'd write it down. I said, Lord, there's something wrong. Exodus 20, verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord, now that's capital L-O-R-D, meaning Almighty God, Jehovah, made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So now who created? One says God created. This one says the Lord created. Who created? John 1. May be boring to you, but it never does get to me. John 1. Now remember, Genesis 1 says, in the beginning God created. Now here it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now who's this talking about? Jesus Christ, right? Because in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And verse 14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld Him, His glory, as the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So now who's the Creator according to John? What I'm trying to prove, and let it be out there to be proved a lot more than it is for here, but to prove that you got a whole lot of creators if you just stick with the Word. Or either you got to find out they're all the same person. Alright? Now, if it's not the same person, you got a lot of creators. Because God signifies Elohim, the Creator. Lord signifies Jehovah, Creator. Here, the Word is the Creator. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So now the Word is the Creator. See? Who is the Word now? The Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Hebrews 1. And just keep in mind what it's saying. Keep in mind what I'm trying to get your point to see. I'll get to it in a minute. It's all sticking together. Hebrews 1. God, capital, G-O-D, capital. Highest case, of course, there is, and the only time it's used in the New Testament, in that form. Check it out. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by or in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. See, that's why they believe that God created Jesus, and Jesus created everything else. Because they can read here in the Bible, it says, it hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, in whom He hath appointed heir of all things. By whom, in other words, by whom? But why not read it, in whom also He made it the world. All right. Colossians 1. We'll go down about verse 15. Well, let's back up 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Image means exact likeness or exact same person. For by him were all things created. By who? By the firstborn. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now do you see why the Trinitarians believe? I'm trying to make a point. They believe, and the basis of the world believes, that God created Jesus. And then he created everything else. Because they know the Son is the Creator. I knew that when I was reading the Bible. But I couldn't get it straight about who was who. See, I was still Trinitarian. Ephesians 3 and 9. Verse 8. And unto me who am less than least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the mystery of the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. You see why? Do you see why everybody believes that God created Jesus? And Jesus created everything else. They don't argue about Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about the flesh. Your Trinitarian wouldn't argue you none whatsoever that Jesus Christ is the Creator. He'd tell you, sure, that's right. The Bible says he is. But said it was done by him. You ever heard them tell about how the egg got into Mary? Maybe you didn't listen. Like, maybe you don't now. The Father gave the seed to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost took it down and put it in the womb of Mary. That's the way they explain it. The Father gave it to the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost delivered it. The scriptures we just read says God created all things. Elohim, self-existing. Said the Lord created all things. Jehovah. Said God created all things. Then we come to the New Testament and we find out that Jesus Christ created all things. So you come up with a great understanding. God gave it to Jesus. And Jesus gave it to John. Is that right? Revelations 1. Because it says that. The revelation that God gave to Jesus to give to John. Now, if that's not held in the correct order, you're Trinitarians. But if you go too far in the wrong way, you're a oneness. You see, you might think this is not important tonight. You won't understand Sunday without the message tonight. So I would consider maybe this might be more important than you think. Because the biggest portion of the world believes. Your prophet just said multitudes. Believe that God created Jesus, then Jesus created everything else. And they'll give you the very scriptures for it that I just read. But now, are we Trinity or are we oneness? Which one are we? If we can't bring it through the Bible and through the prophet's message the correct way, you're either oneness or Trinitarian. To say that Jesus never had a father, you're a oneness. To say that he had a father that was different from him, you're Trinitarian. Amen. Right. Now, how close is that?
Right. Amen.
Is that close enough? That's all it takes. But everybody understands the message. Oh, one God. I preached that many years ago. You know, we own the truth. We own the great revelation for the day. What great revelation? That's why you got so many River Jordan doctrines and Two Soul doctrines and Seven Thunder Virtue doctrines and Parousia doctrine. That's why you got them all. They don't know what the Bible says, and they can't take what the prophet had to say. See, if I was a Trinitarian, I would read you these very scriptures tonight to show you that God created Jesus and Jesus created everything else. That's what I'd read to you. To show you that was the Bible. Well, you're just taking what Brother Branham says. Now, I'm saying that to you, not to me now. See, now if we're going to believe him was a prophet, you know, then we've got to listen to what he says. But still the foundation of that prophet's message has got to be the Bible. And if we can't go back to the Bible with what we see, then you don't see it. Forget it. It's not a revelation if you can't put it in Scripture. I don't care how glorious and what you said it's produced or whatever. If it don't come out to be a revelation of the correct order of the Scriptures, and not deny one Scripture. See? I'm trying to make you think tonight of what do you believe? What is your understanding? Well, the prophet said it, and I believe it. Well, amen. Amen. Now, let's read what your prophet said again. Number 4 in your notes. And watch him now. The beginning of the creation of God. This is who the Lord Jesus Christ says he is. But these words don't mean exactly as they sound to us. Just taking them the way they sound has made some people, in fact, multitudes of people, get the idea that Jesus was the first creation of God, making him lower than Godhead. Then this first creation created all the rest of the universe and whatsoever it contained. But that is not right. You know that doesn't line up with the rest of the Bible. Now, he's going to give you the Bible that I just read. You know that doesn't line up with the rest of the Bible. Now, the whole Bible's got to show that Jesus is not the first creation of God and that God created something else. Or created, you know, that God created Jesus and him created. No, can't be. The Bible won't bear it out. He is the beginner or author of the creation of God. We know for a surety that Jesus is God, very God. He is the creator, John 1:3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He is the one of whom it is said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Also it says in Exodus 20:11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all them it, all that in them is, and rested the seventh. See, there is no doubt that He is the creator. He was the creator of a finished physical creation. Surely we can see what these words mean now. To have any other interpretation would mean that God created God. How could God be created when He Himself is the creator? So now if you're going to believe in one true and living God, then the God of the Elohim that was Genesis 1:1 is the same as the Jehovah of Exodus 20:11, the word Lord. It's the same as it calls Word in John 1:1. But yet we toy with the word where it says was with God. But now we'll get to it Sunday and see that could not say no other way. Had that not been written, our brother Gary, you couldn't come out with a correct understanding of one true and living God. Yet a big man in this message that claims to know all about it says that's incorrect, that he doesn't like that with God. I contend that there's no way to understand the Godhead unless that word with is there. Because you're either oneness or Trinity. Without that understanding of that little word with and what it means in there, you're either oneness or Trinity. Because in no way can you make Jesus having a Father without the word with. So then you're oneness. But now listen, church. Think on these things. We believe in one true and living God, and His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that covers then Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Bible says, in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now, that scripture, remember how we was expressing it one time? It says, in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In who? The fullness of the Godhead bodily is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It said, in Him dwelt Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In Him, the flesh. In Him, the flesh. Not the Son of God. The only begotten of God. We call the Son, and that's fine. But in Him, who? In Jesus, dwelt the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says. But see, we don't want to read it that way. We want to say in Him, the Son, dwelt the Father and the Holy Ghost. That's not what the Bible says. That in Him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. We believe in one true and living God. His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just read that last one to give to you. Number 5. I think there's some more. Yeah, I don't want to read the others. I'll keep that. Or I will quote it. Listen to what Brother Brown said. Jesus and authority of the Word. Jesus owned the authority of the Word. Preach 54:2-17. Second paragraph. O God, who made heavens and earth, created by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who created heavens and the earth? Son of God. Number 6. Save reading. Drop on down into the middle because it's got the scriptures. You're coming down into Colossians. Look what he says. Amen. The what? The firstborn of every creature. Let it be angel. Let it be anyone it may be. He's the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created. All things created that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, whether they be dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And let it be anything it might be, no other being. And watch, and it keeps right on reading. And in he is, therefore, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Whether it be Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, whatever it is, he is before all things. Before all things that's in heaven and earth, visible, invisible, anything, the Son of God was before all things. That's right. The Son of God was before all times. You see, we say Son of God 2,000 years ago. The Son of God was before all things, that created all things. Who created all things? The Son of God. Who is the Son of God? The Lord Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus, the human outside flesh. You got to get it correct and bring it down that way to understand Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All right? Come on, Brother Boyd. But listen. Partial realization to perfect realization. We might have had some understanding of the Scriptures, but when we were Trinitarians, it wasn't even partial realization of the truth. It was just partial realization. Right. We were just able to quote. I'd argue with my brother. Me and him used to set up a lot of funerals. We'd argue all night. He was Trinitarian and I don't know what I was. But I argued with him all night. There wasn't but one God. But see, when I come in this message, then I found that God that I'm talking about. And then it started a partial realization of that God that I'm talking about. But tonight I stand after 40 years of studying the message. For right now, perfect realization. Now tomorrow is another day. Next year is another year. But I'm standing tonight with perfect realization for right now. And I'm trying to be a faithful and true witness. Because you see, I believe in one true and living God. That Jehovah the old is Jesus of the new. That one God has made himself manifest among us, and we are now witnesses of that. Yeah, but now, wait a minute. Now, you can't be a witness because you never saw it. You want to go to court with me? Why don't you come? Let's go to court and see if there's enough witness to prove who he is by the Bible. Let's see if we can prove who this is by the Bible. This God we talk about. At least let's do it with the Bible. As Brother Brown said, Billy Graham should have just stood there and at least argued with them people. Or, you know, or put it down flat before them. He said, rather he should have called. In other words, he should have called somebody to add the answer. But do you have the answer, or are you just quoting Brother Branham? Well, Brother Brown believes in one God, I believe in one God. Can you go through the Bible and not get confused? Can you go over in Revelations when we get there in 4 and 5 and see how that one becomes on the throne? In your revelation. In your revelation. Do you see it for yourself, or is it what somebody else said? Pray to God for a revelation, Mr. Tane. Go ahead, brother. 392 in the Red Book. Saints of light proclaim Jesus. Anybody have a need? Life and mercy in his name. Jesus, the light of the world. Come and let's believe. We'll walk in. What? Just pray and believe that. Father, you heard our brother. Now you give him the exact words. But may he listen to you. And may he pay close attention to you, Lord, as you use his lips to speak to his brother. We believe that you'll give the correct answer. Because you are the answer, Lord. We love you. We thank you. We lay hands upon our brother, agreeing with him that you will take over and you'll manifest yourself in Jesus' name. Just go believe in it. Anybody else? Oh, it's truth the narrow way. Jesus, the light of the world. We'll walk in. Is that right? Beautiful light. Anybody else? Where the dewdrops of mercy are bright, shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. Just think about him. Think about as your revelation become from partial to perfect. Is it open more to you today than it was 10 years ago, a year ago, or yesterday? He shall run and not, shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, to wait. That's your desire. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. One more time before we go. Think about him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Listening today to Brother Branham preaching on the token. He said, I waited all years for this message. Waiting on the message of the token. He knew that he had pointed toward it. See, partial realization. You just think of all that years that that prophet preached. But it just kept unfolding. Kept unfolding. And he went right into the opening of the seals and just kept unfolding. Unfolded right on out to the future home and the things that are to be and all. Never stopped, did it? I sat there with Brother Moat years ago, you've heard me tell it, when I got laid off at General Motors for something I didn't do. I got a day off, and back then we was glad to get a day off, we was working so much, but sitting over at Brother Moat's that night, he was off for some reason. I went over and was sitting there talking. And I saw how the message to the prophet just kept unfolding. Just kept unfolding. Right on through the opening of the seals and right on out. I saw we'd have to come that away. I went back to Dorville and I told him. I said, God revealed something to me last night at home. And I said, the next time you try to lay me off, I want a week. Boy, they got confused. I said, I want a week the next time. Because I'm looking forward to God revealing something to me. What are you going to do with somebody like that? We're glad. Jesus set me free. I'm so glad. Jesus set me free. I'm so glad. Jesus set me free. Singing glory. You're dismissed. Sing that to one another as you're going home. Father, bless everybody on the way home. Be with everyone in Jesus' name. Free.